Blog Talk Radio.
Happy, blessed Father's Day to you. Amen. And welcome, everyone, to the East St. Louis Christian Center Church. And here's Pastor Mom sitting here looking very comfortable. We've got a big smile on her face and ready to open us up with a greeting and a word of prayer. Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody. And thanks for coming to the church today.
Amen. Our Father.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
On earth.
On earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread.
And forgive us.
And forgive us.
Our trespasses.
And give us our trespasses.
As we forgive.
As we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not.
And lead us not into temptation.
But deliver us
from evil. From the out of his kingdom and power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll pray this together. Mm-hmm. Lord. Thank you for being with us and standing by us and holding us in the hollow of thine own hand. Bless our president and give him wisdom, knowledge, and a good understanding. Bless all the people of the United States. Lead us and guide us. Bless this service. In the name of Jesus, amen. 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 Thank you, Pastor Mom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, we'll go to our scripture this morning, and we'll be reading Psalm 100 in the King James Version, the entire psalm, Psalm 100.
Okay.
And then after that, we're going to go to Psalm 34. Verses 1 through 3, and we'll read that together as well. Okay, let's read Psalm 100 together. Amen. King James Version, let's read. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Amen. And we have a little song, a little chorus to go with that. Hopefully you'll learn it after a while. For the Lord is good, his mercy everlasting, his truth endures to all generations. For the Lord is good, his mercy everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. One more time. For the Lord is good, his mercy everlasting, his truth endures to all generations. For the Lord is good, his mercy everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Amen, amen. Y'all did good. I can feel it. I know you did good. Amen. Let's go on to Psalm 34, King James Version, verses 1 through 3. Let's read that together. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Amen, amen. And if you've been with us before, you know that we have our pearls to ponder. And what we do with that is the Lord has given us a charge and a challenge to learn more about him. His names, his character, his nature, to just learn more about him. And we've been doing this for a while, and in fact, we could do it the rest of our lives and not know everything about the Lord's names, his character, and his nature. But at any rate, what the Lord has given to us is he's given us his name, character, or nature each month. And this month, we've been getting to know him as judge. And that is so important, to know the Lord as judge. Now, on June the 5th, the first Sunday of the month, we heard about him being the judge of all the earth. Hallelujah. And then on last week, we talked about him being the Lord, our judge. The Lord our lawgiver, the Lord our king, and he will save us. So he is our judge. And so this week, we're going to hear some scriptures about him being the righteous judge. Ooh, that's important. Amen. He's not only judging everything, and he's our judge, he's righteous. Glory to God. So he's going to do it right. Glory, hallelujah. And so Psalm 50 and verse 6 says, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Then it says, Selah. Stop and think about that for a while. Amen. Psalm 96 and verse 13 says, before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Comforting right there. Amen. Hallelujah. He's going to not only do it, but he's going to do it with righteousness. Amen. And then the last one is Psalm 98 and verse 9. Before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth, with righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. Amen. So he's righteous. He is righteousness. He is the righteous judge. And his kingdom is filled with righteousness. Let's hear a little bit of Ron Canole.
Righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Everybody, righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Don't you want to be...
Hallelujah. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Amen. Hallelujah. Righteousness. So our God judges in righteousness, and righteousness is his kingdom as well. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to do a little bit of what we do every Sunday, because we have one, but we have two guest speakers today. Hallelujah. So we're going to go through our a declaration. We'll do one declaration today, and then we'll do a little praise and worship. And in fact, one of our guests will be playing for our praise and worship. We'll do our prayer for finances, and then we will turn it over to them, and that should take maybe about another 5 or 10 minutes. Well, actually, more like 15 minutes with the song. To get to them, and then they will be ready. So our guest this morning, I'll say who they are already. Amen. They were with us last week. We are just so blessed by them. Hallelujah. And not last week, last year for Father's Day, we were so blessed by them that we wanted to have them to come again. And so we have Minister Lenny Yarbrough and Bishop Aaron McClary. So you'll be hearing from them in a few moments. And if you've been with Get 'Em Radio for a while, you know both of them. And both of them are blessed men of God. Hallelujah. So we're going to go on to our declarations right now. And the Lord was just laying on my heart about these declarations that, you know, back in Genesis, when they had the Tower of Babel, and everybody started doing the same thing together. Well, they weren't doing it for the right reasons, but anyway, they were building that tower. And he said, the people is one. He said, is one. He didn't say are. He said, the people is one, and nothing shall be withheld from them because they are one. And so he had to kind of scatter them around because they weren't being one for the right thing. So he was just ministering to me about these declarations. When we say these declarations together, we are one. Hallelujah. And then things begin to happen. You can declare and decree by yourself, but it's something that happens when we declare together. So as we do this declaration this morning, be fully engaged in it. And if you don't need what it's saying right now, when you do need it, it'll be there for you. Amen. So the word of God says in Job 22 and 28, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy way. Isaiah 40 and verse 8 says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. And we see a lot of grass now. We see a lot of flowers now. But after a while, the grass is going to wither. The flower is going to fade. But hey, the word of our God stands forever. So repeat this declaration after me. Be fully engaged. Come on into it, because we all need this word this morning. So repeat after me. Christ has redeemed me.
Christ has redeemed me.
From the curse of the law.
From the curse of the law.
Therefore.
Therefore.
I forbid. Any sickness.
Any sickness.
Or disease.
Or disease.
To come.
Upon my body.
Every disease,
germ,
allergy,
allergic reaction,
and every virus
that touches my body
dies instantly
in the name of Jesus.
Every organ
and
every tissue
of my body
functions
in the perfection
that God created it
to function.
And I forbid any malfunction
in my body
in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And that came from the scriptures, Galatians 3:13, Romans 8:11, Genesis 1:31, and Matthew 16:19. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And I just believe by the Spirit of God, somebody caught that in their bodies this morning in the name of Jesus. Any kind of malfunction, the doctors can't figure it out, but it's a malfunction. But God knows about that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And he got it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to go to some praise and worship right now. Hallelujah. And one of our guest speakers, Minister Lenny Yarbrough, he plays the flute, he plays the saxophone, and just so blessed by him. So we're going to hear this morning the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Hopefully you've heard that before. And when we play it, you could just sing along with him. Just throw your head back and sing. But it talks about the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope y'all got a chance to throw your head back and sing that song. I had to look up the lyrics on Google. Amen. And I was singing it too over here. Me and Pastor Ma. We didn't turn the mic on. We were over here singing. Praise the Lord. And it's just the way you played that, Minister Lenny, is like you know something about the goodness of God, and I know you do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And now we're going to pray over our finances. God has given us, he's given us a charge to do a few things, and he tells us to just be faithful and continue to do it. We're going to hear our speakers after this, but so he has laid on our hearts, and the Lord has told us that, you know, at this time, this is the time for wealth transfer. Hallelujah. In case you didn't know it, the Bible talks about a wealth transfer, and that's what's going on right now. I have never in my whole life heard the word trillion as much as I've been hearing it now. And we need the wealth transfer because of going on in our economics right now, prices going up and all of that. But God, he had a plan before all of this stuff started happening, before the pandemic, all of that. And his plan for us is good and not evil. Glory to God. And so in order to really lay hold to what God is doing right now, it's very important for us to tithe and to give offerings. He's laid it out there. People can make money. People can get money in different ways. But the way that God says to do it is to tithe, to give 10% of whatever you have, and to give offerings. And he said, you know, it was like, I know some of y'all are not going to believe me, but try me on it. Test me on it. And see, won't I open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that will be too much for you to receive. Just try me on it. Test me on it. Amen. And so that's what he wants us to do, so that we can be in a position to receive all that God has for us, that overflow. He's an overflow God. So we've been praying this prayer over our finances, and it has been a blessing. I'm going to give you a real quick testimony. Is that we're in this little group on Facebook, and it's a piece of equipment that Pastor Mom uses. And so the people on that group are just like complaining because they say that they can't get reimbursed for the cost of that equipment. It's called a PureWick. And so there's like, you know, you can't get the money back, da-da-da. Pastor Mom got the money back. You understand? So I don't know what they've been doing or whatever, but I know over, as for me and my house, we give tithes and offerings. And because of that, God is blessing us. So we get reimbursed for what other people are crying about. So, and I pray for them. I'm not just laughing at them or nothing. I'm praying for them too, that they'll be able to get it as well. Praise God. But, you know, I'm just saying, that's the kind of things that happen when you give. Pray, when we give. Amen. So here's our prayer for finances. Once again, we're joining together. Be fully engaged with this. Speak it out. Nobody else is in the house with you. Still say it out loud. If somebody's in there and they're not going to say it, you say it, because you're going to need this. If you don't need it now, you will. Amen. Repeat after me. Lord,
I commit
my finances to you.
To you.
Be in charge of them. And use them. For your purpose.
May I be
a good steward.
Of all that you give me.
And walk. In total agreement.
total agreement.
As to how it is to be dispersed.
It is to be dispersed.
Amen.
I pray
that I will learn
to live
free.
To live free.
A burdensome
debt.
Where I have not been wise,
bring restoration,
and give me guidance.
Help me to remember
that all I have
belongs to you,
and to be grateful for it.
May I always
be paid well
for the work I do.
And may my money
not be stolen, lost,
devoured, destroyed, or wasted.
Multiply it.
So what I have and what I make will go a long way.
I pray
that I will not
be anxious
about finances, but will seek
your kingdom first,
knowing that as I do,
I will have all I need.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So I know that some of you go to other churches. We just encourage you to tithe and offering. Give offerings where you are being fed. Amen. Those who are giving tithes and offerings to the East St. Louis Christian Center Church, we have a Cash App. There are three ways that you can give to the East St. Louis Christian Center Church. We have a Cash App, and our Cash App is $ESLCCC, and that stands for East St. Louis Christian Center Church. So $ESLCCC. If you live in this building at the Heritage House, you can always come to 2E, praise God, and give, and some of you have been doing all three of these. You can also mail it in. And you make your checks payable to ESLCCC, 2800 Olive Street, number 2E, St. Louis, Missouri, 63103. Hallelujah. So we're going to pray over your giving right now as you're going on Cash App and sending it in, as you're writing your checks out, as you're preparing to come to 2E. Amen. We're going to pray for you now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for this great wealth transfer that's going on right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father God, that the portion that belongs to us, that you have set aside for us, that you have had people to set aside money for us, God, is flowing to us right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the tithers, Lord. You said give tithers. You said try you on it, test you on it, and would you not open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that was too much for us to receive. Thank you for those open windows in heaven, Lord. And then we thank you for rebuking the devourer for our sake right now. So our money will not be lost. It won't be stolen. It won't be devoured. It won't be wasted. There will not be holes in our pocket dripping money and we don't even know about it. Thank you for that, Lord. And then, Lord, we thank you for the offerings. Those who are giving offerings, you said, given it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosoms. We thank you for the overflow of tithes and offerings in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we always stand on Deuteronomy 1:10-11, where you said you would make us a thousandfold more than we are right now and bless us as you have promised us. Oh, we trust you, Lord, and we give you the praise, we give you the glory and the honor, and we all say amen and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I just feel some excitement in my spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah, because he's doing exceeding abundantly above all we could ask, think, or even imagine. Amen. So now, hallelujah, we're going to go on to our speakers. Hallelujah, our speakers for today. We're going to introduce them. Some of you know who they are, just dynamic men of God. Just a year ago, the Lord had me to call both of them and have them both to come on. And since then, they have become friends. And that's a blessing. One, Minister Lenny lives in Memphis, Tennessee, and Bishop Aaron lives in Atlanta, Georgia. So to have both of them get to know each other and talk to one another, being the fathers that they are, both of them are grandfathers, both of them are I just can't say it, just dynamic men of God. And they together, they have almost 80 years of fathering wisdom with the Lord. Hallelujah. So without any further ado, I'm going to open up their lines right now. Praise God. And we're going to let these men come in their own way as the Lord leads them. I want to introduce to some and present to all Bishop Aaron McClary and Minister Lenny Yarbrough. Welcome, gentlemen.
Well,
and happy Father's Day.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy Father's Day to you all.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Well,
hallelujah.
Certainly I yield to Bishop Aaron to open us up with a word of prayer.
Amen. It would be my honor today. Amen. I thank God for just his allowing us to wake up this morning. So let's begin our prayer in praise. Father God, we bless you and we thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you that you allowed us, God, to see another day and see another Father's Day, oh God, and another time to come together as we worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord God, that your spirit reigns, Lord God, here all the way across America and across the world, here on Block Talk Radio. We thank you for your anointing that will touch every listener, Lord God, today and those that will even listen in the future, Lord God. Let our words, Lord God, be seasoned with wisdom and love. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, I know that Bishop Aaron and I discussed what we might talk about, and we agreed upon a title of Fatherhood 101. Can you imagine what it would feel like as a father if a child was born with a tag on its toe that says, do these things to successfully raise this child?
My
Lord, we all know that that's not the case. You agree, Bishop Aaron? We didn't get those tags like that.
No, I want it.
We didn't. I didn't recall seeing a tag on Lenny Jr.'s toe, and I'm sure that in the 40 years that I've been raising kids along with Mary, that I've made some mistakes, but at the same time, I have seen the goodness of God.
Amen.
So what we are going to attempt to do today really is to just break it down to the very basic characteristics of fatherhood. Do you
Amen.
Agree? Is that where we're headed, Bishop?
I agree. And I preface it what we're about to say with anyone out there that doesn't know about fatherhood or they're just entering into fatherhood, even what Brother Lenny and I experienced in raising our children, your experience may be totally different. It may be better or it may be crazier. But the one thing I noticed with Brother Lenny and I is that we both stayed with the Lord. When you make perfect decisions, perfect choices, and things like that, but we always got centered again with the Lord. So I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Absolutely. That is the if anybody get anything from this conversation today, my hope and my purpose in taking advantage of this opportunity to speak to you is to direct you back to God.
Amen.
Is to reiterate that it took God to get to this point. And that is really one of the characteristics of fatherhood. But I think it's fitting to start off with some testimony. I can't personally, it's just amazing to me to to have done something for 40 years. I mean, literally have done something for 40 years. That's nearly a lifetime, to have done something. And you get to see the beginning, the middle, and the end in a 40-year period. And you get to have something to do with the end. And I think our testimonies can attest to that. You know, I can remember early on a critical moment in my life. I remember learning that Lenny Jr. was born in Centerville Hospital there in East St. Louis. And I remember having this conversation with God saying, well, what am I supposed to do? I now have a human being that I have to be responsible for, not only just to eat and to house and to feed, to educate, but to guide and to enable and to impact the entire world. Yeah. Think of
Amen.
The world. Think of the world as a puddle. And I guarantee you, if you throw a rock in a puddle, the ripple is going to affect the whole puddle.
Amen.
So that was the earliest recollection I have of a critically decisive moment in my life. God presented to me this question of what it is that you're going to do. How are you going to address this situation?
My Lord.
I was 18 years old. In college, and see, I can answer the question real easy now, looking 40 years back at 58 years old, having been married 40 years and been through all manner of trouble and seen the consistency that God has in a father's life. And we're talking to the fathers now. If you have a child, you are a father. If you have a child, you
Father. Go ahead. The first thing that I had to say as I give my testimony here was I had to accept that. I had to accept that responsibility. I had to accept the fact that I did not know that there were no instructions on Lenny Jr.'s toe that said, this is how you raise me as a black boy in this world to become a black man. There was no instructions on Rachel's toe that said, as a black girl, this is how you raise me to become a black woman. I don't know what was your critically decisive moment, Bishop?
Well, I guess it mine started a little differently. Something nobody ever thinks about, because today's society is so different, and our norms are so different. But mine started like this. We found out Sabrina was pregnant. We went to the doctor and we found out she was pregnant. We were happy. We were celebrating. Young, saved couple in the church, working for the Lord, doing everything right, everything we knew to do. We had been married a few months. We did not have sex before marriage. It was difficult. Yes, we were actually a couple that did not have sex before marriage. We didn't believe in it, and we didn't do it, even as young people. So we got married, and all of a sudden we were pregnant, and then went to the doctor, and we went out to go celebrate. And as we go to celebrate, she started spotting. Went back to the doctor. They're like, oh, you lost your baby. And we were like, oh, well, we lost the tip, but we got another one. So the other baby was still, oh, okay. Well, thank you, Lord. You know, we as young Christians, we didn't know that. But as a Christian, you didn't think you're going to have that kind of tragedy. We get home.
Right.
And she starts spotting again. And she lost the other one at the house.
Wow.
And we saw it. I believe they were two boys. So my interest in the fatherhood was very strange in that I was a holier than thou, holy roller, rolling down the aisle Christian. I was so holy, I wasn't no earthly good. I recognize that now as the Christian I am now, and didn't even recognize what I was going through. I was just so holy roller till I didn't even acknowledge the fact that of the pain of the loss. And then a few years later, Sabrina was pregnant again, and then my first live-born child was born, and that was Victoria. And I tell you, going in there, first time I held her, I cried. I was in the room when she was born. I saw all that stuff. I was like, Lord, I have a new appreciation for my wife, because if I had to go through that stuff, there would be no birth and no babies. I just had so much more appreciation for her when she was born, and even after a couple of years later, my youngest daughter was born. Same appreciation. And I tell you, my first venture as I was already a father, and I went and grabbed secular books about fatherhood. I grabbed Bill Cosby's book about fatherhood, and Bill Cosby told me some good things. He said some good things in his book about fatherhood, being a first-time father, and things like that. But his experience was still different than mine. That's why I said in the beginning, even though we have our experiences, theirs may be better or maybe worse than ours, but we have to continue to trust God. But I knew from the scriptures I had to live a certain way, and I had to teach them a certain way. So that became my catalyst for entering into fatherhood.
And that sort of segues into the next sort of subtopic, you know, here, and that is the confirmation of God's presence during your experiences as a father. I know for me, I was stupid. They just...
I was in that club too.
I was a kid, you know, and yeah, I could have been better prepared, you know, but I was, God said, he said to me, he said, listen, probably, he said to me, and this is one of many times that I've audibly heard God's voice. He said, I got you. He said, these are not your kids. These are the kids that I have loaned to you, that I have allowed you to experience.
Mm-hmm.
These are my kids. They are extensions of me.
Mm. Yes. In that you learn that
yes,
you have God allowed me as a man, a woman I love, produce a seed, a child, a human being, and the heaviness and the weight of that, even given in the society we live. I'll digress this a little bit and give you another part of my life that was part of me. I always was driven to be in my kid's life because my father was not in my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My circumstances, what he knew at the time, you know, if he knew better, I believe he would have done better. But life experiences caused us not to have the relationship we should have had. So that made me determined to have a better relationship with my girls. And mm-hmm. even now, I was a good father, but I'm still praying. I'm like, God, don't let nothing I did mess them up, because I didn't know what I was doing. I'm trying to live my life and still nurture these two girls. You know, and on top of that, they were girls. And if you're a father of girls, it's a different feeling in your heart than a father of boys. You know, yeah, you love your boys, gonna, but just like, oh, them boys going to be all right. But them girls, you automatically know that, and this is not to be, I know most of our audience is not the women live and all that stuff, but we know the girl is the weaker link, and that there's guys I like out there just like me looking to get them. So I started young praying, because I didn't want to get no shotgun and be doing prison time for killing somebody's son.
Exactly. Now, this didn't come on the label, did it? It didn't come on the label.
No label. They gave me two little things in my hand.
Right. Go for
and
it.
There's no label. I looked for it. There was no label. She cried. And then you, as a man, having to change diapers on a girl?
On her, I could not, to this day, I cannot do a ponytail. I don't know why I can't do it.
I never could. I remember one time.
But I was there. I was there.
Yes, yes. I was consistent. That's the main thing. I was there. I made a lot of mistakes. I did a lot, made a lot of stupid financial moves. I did a lot of mistakes, but I stayed there. I didn't move. I endured it. I don't know how I endured, because most of the time I was mad and angry because of trying to do this and trying to do that and trying to provide for my wife and trying to provide for my kids. You know, I consider... Yes, and for myself, I consider us in the rearing of our kids, we were no frills in our children. Not everybody around us, they bought their kids Ataris and VCRs
and all that stuff. And we just went through the years of not being able to afford those things, and we didn't spend money on those things, but we took and spent time with our girls and had other kinds.
Absolutely.
Know, I think even I remember once when we were teenagers, we were in New Jersey when the girls were teenagers, and the kids at the church, they had an occasion where they all were at our house. And then I remember one of the young men came to me and said, no, he came to my daughter and said, I didn't know your parents, your daddy was so much fun. I didn't know your parents were so fun. And she said, yes, we had fun all the time. He was like, I thought all y'all did was have Bible study and sit down and have Bible study, because our discipline at church was, no, church, you serious. Home, you can play. But at church, no, you're going to sit here and pay attention. You know, so with everybody else's kid, they do what they want to do. You know, I didn't mind that, but it made me laugh because I said, no, we're a lot of fun. I went on daddy dates with my daughters, both individually and collectively. I would have with Victoria, a date with Alexandra. I have a date with both of them, and that's what I could afford. We did little things. We did things that didn't cost any money. I'd find out that the museum was free today. I'd run them down to the museum, run them downtown Atlanta to this or to that, something, you know. But I thought I was doing the best I could, and feeling bad because I see all the other fathers taking their kids to Aruba, taking their kids to Hawaii, taking their kids to Disney World, all that stuff. I felt bad. It put me in a situation, and I was like, I can't afford this stuff, Lord. I can't afford that stuff. But what I didn't realize I was doing was I was doing what was most important. I was giving them the love they needed.
I was doing what was most important. That, you know, that the same thing here, you know, Bishop. I would dress up in my tuxedo that I used to have to wear to go play music.
Yes.
And I would be like a waiter, and I would wait on them like in a five-star. I would cook the dinner, you know.
Yeah.
You know, all this kind of stuff. And you know what? My neighbors, their kids like to be over our house more than any other house. If the kids that grew up with my kids could be on this call right now, they would be testifying right now. Oh yeah, this is where we wanted to be. Because they were getting the time, they were getting our kids were getting the respect, they were getting the experiences. I remember one time when we moved into our first house, and it was in the, it was probably in the early 90s or something like that. And we were living in Madison, Tennessee, in north of Nashville. And Mary messed around and left me with the kids, and she went home to East St. Louis for something. I don't know what it was. And I was like, you know, what are we going to do, right? So we got dressed up in our boots and stuff, and there was a creek out behind our house. And we went out, and we got in that creek, and we walked up and down that creek. We saw all manner of nature and all kinds of stuff. We were so muddy and dirty and nasty, so we had to undress on the sidewalk before we could go into the house. You know, we're talking about the confirmation of God's presence during our experience as far. I can remember when Lenny Jr. was in a stroller, you know, Mary and I, we took the bus one morning. We purposely took the bus to the food stamp place because I was in college, she was in college, and we had a child. You know, we were living in an efficiency apartment, and we went and I applied for food stamps. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it took all day for this to happen. And about 3 o'clock or so, the counselor called us in and she said, Mr. Yarbrough, Ms. Yarbrough, and Lenny Jr. was sitting right there in the stroller. She says, qualify for food stamps. Now, you know, I've been impacted by food stamps my whole life, right? Up until that point. And, mm-hmm. and she says, y'all qualify for food stamps, but Mr. Yarbrough, you can't be in the household.
That's it.
I said, what do you mean? I'm sitting right here. I said, I applied for the food stamps. Yeah, these were moments when you knew that God was in control. You knew that God was in. I left that place. We caught the bus back home. Then I walked up to the grocery store, and just so happened they had a case of chicken for sale, what I could afford. Ooh. It had some like 24 chickens in it. Now, the case itself was as big as our whole refrigerator, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I bought the case anyway. And if you came over to my house, you got a chicken, you ate chicken, you took a chicken home with you, you know. But what God was saying to me at that time was, this is what you can use to feed your family.
Mm. That's it.
You don't need food stamps. And we never had food stamps in our whole 40-some-odd years of being married. You know, God was just like, I got you. And I used that same experience, right, when a car breaks down, or there's something going on with the house or whatever, I know that God's presence is there. When a child is ill, I know that God's presence makes the difference.
Yes.
You know, even in our case, we loved our five kids without a doubt, you know, as parents do. Two of our kids were in a car accident and one passed away in that same accident. But God taught me. He said, listen, this is how you will deal with this. You will understand that child belonged to me, and what I want you to do is to celebrate that, and I will give you that peace, because you will be demonstrating to people that I have, God has, conquered death.
That's it.
And you will know that he is here with me right now.
Amen.
Because you taught him to believe in Jesus Christ to be his Savior. And he confessed that to you. I was like, wow. I can talk about it today because of that conversation I had with God on the plane on the way to that accident from California to Florida. So
my God.
There are going to be some confirming things in your life as a father that expresses without shadow of doubt the presence of God during your experience as a father. And I'm sure the same thing happens as a mother, probably more so as a mother, you know, but as a father. Go ahead.
I tell you, Brother Lenny, everything you are saying is like we stayed in the same household. Where were you with your paycheck? Because I had your paycheck, that would have been better. Because I tell you, we did the same thing. I tell you, my faith in God, how I have faith and endurance in God, I can look back and see the markers where it was God made a breakthrough when I needed it for my kids. I tell you, I declare, there was one year I was working, but just things, I was just able to pay bills. I didn't have no extra. I'm sorry, tears are welling up. It was Christmas time. And my girls were old enough to talk, and they knew what Christmas was about. And so they were asking every day, where Christmas? Ain't nothing up on the tree. We had a tree because it was artificial. We put it up every year. But the first time I answered them, I said, God himself will provide your Christmas. And yep. I didn't know where it was coming from. I don't know at that time. I don't know if I thought anybody I could borrow from or what. But I knew I didn't have it, and we didn't have nothing under the tree. Now, here we were. We were hitting the night before Christmas Eve. I wouldn't work at FedEx. I worked like a dog, but it wasn't payday. It wasn't pay weekend, and this was Christmas. Wasn't nothing under the tree. And I was coming from work, and I said to myself, what I said to my girls, God himself will provide Christmas. We had nothing. We didn't even have food in the house. But I got off the bus. I was walking on from the bus. It was a few blocks from the bus stop that let me off to my house. And I was walking, and the Spirit said, look down. I looked down. I saw a bill. I grabbed it. As I grabbed it, there was another bill. I grabbed it. There was another bill. A whole wad of money I just grabbed on the way home. Now, mind you, I didn't have a dime. I was able to ride the bus because I got a monthly pass. So it was already paid for. So that's how I was able to get to work. I walked in the house. I can't remember what the amount was, but it was a few hundred dollars.
Wow.
I was sitting there at that time. We didn't even have a car. A car broke down on us and stuff like that. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh, God, you this Christmas, I go get them something. So the next day, I was going to get on the bus and run and grab what little things I could grab. But as it would have it the next morning, oh, Lord.
Amazing. God is amazing, man.
The next morning,
take your time, brother. See, fatherhood is like that. It is emotional. It's emotional, man. It's spiritual. You know, man.
Call me and said, we want to bless the girls with something for Christmas. What do you want to get? I don't know. This one wants to. Well, I'm going to pick you up. So that made the ride for me to go get the stuff. I had to ride the bus. The saint came. She got all this wonderful stuff for her. Then the Lord had given me money. I was able to get other things. I was able to get food in the house. We had a nice Christmas dinner plus extra. And then other states start coming, this is for the girl.
Wow.
So
man, I can identify with that. I can identify with that.
He provided in that house. And that Christmas day, they were so happy. They had every little toy they wanted. They had seen on TV and said, oh, I want this, I want that. God provided every toy they wanted in one day.
That's the presence of God.
We had a Christmas dinner beyond Christmas dinners. I think there were people that came over. We had, it looked like we were rich folk. But God had did that in 24 hours.
That's powerful.
Being a father is what has, I believe in the essence, saved my life. It caused me not to be the knucklehead I would be because I took on, I knew what my responsibility to my girls were. As far as the man was concerned, I applied for food stamps. I just wanted them for 1 week. But because I was at the home, they said no. Now, if I left the home, if I left my wife, my girls, they would
right.
give them hundreds of dollars in
right.
food stamps. But here I was, a married man, trying to do the best I can for my family. And they said, no, because you in the home, we ain't giving you nothing.
I had that same thing. And, you know, that brings us to our third and final point in the first section of our discussion, which is the testimony, the impact on you as a man and
yes.
as a person. Yes, it brought to me focus in my life. You know,
yes.
Thomas Edison once said, what you are will show in what you do.
Yes.
What you are will show in what you do.
It's true.
And we are fathers.
Yes.
That's what we are. And that decision, that critical decision that we made back in the beginning that said, well, you know, we don't really know how to be fathers, how to raise a human being, but we're gonna hook up to this. We're gonna yoke up to this right here. And we're gonna stick with it. And God took us through some amazing experiences and brought us out on the other end as men.
Amen. I tell you, being a father taught me I learned this through the years, how to forgive.
Yes.
Because our Father is our Heavenly Father, and He forgives us of a lot of stuff. He can forgive us of stuff that people know we did, and that stuff we
yep.
sneaky we did that don't nobody know, and He ain't uncovered. I got
yep.
with a lot of dirt
yep.
that I should have been on 6 o'clock news as a teenager all the way up, but God covered me. But I learned the love and the covering of my Heavenly Father by being a physical father. And it taught me also my father, which I considered a deadbeat dad. I hated him. I didn't want to have nothing to do with him. Didn't have nothing to do with him. As a matter of fact, when Sabrina and I were first married, Sabrina never met him until I think we were married a couple of years, had Victoria, and Victoria was a toddler before she even met him. And I remember I had a dream that he had died. I woke up from the dream. I physically cried. And the Lord said, well, how you call yourself a minister and you hate your father? And I said, okay, Lord, I'll fix that. So I invited my father to church. I was religious now. I invited him to church and to dinner. Well, he didn't make it to church, but he did make it to dinner. And at this moment, I want to add in that I was out grilling on the back. Sabrina was upstairs doing something she do. And he was in the living room playing with Victoria, who's a toddler. And you know how you play horsey on the leg and child ride.
Mm-hmm.
Victoria was having fun and laughing. He was laughing and stuff. That's the first time they ever saw each other. And I was standing there on the back of the deck, and I was looking at him, and the Lord said, forgive him, for he
yep.
did the best he could for the time he lived in. And that started,
yep.
Now the forgiveness and the wasn't instant then. He even died 1 year later to the day I had the dream. And Sabrina was pregnant with Alexandra, my youngest, and we didn't know it. He died 1 year later to the day. And so I went through, I was like, Lord, what does this mean? Why would you have me try to get him, bring him into my life and then all of a sudden he got to die. But I had to learn. I love him. I guess I say it this way. It may sound ugly to some people, but I learned how to love my father posthumously. In that I learned how to love him. I could stand over his grave at this moment and just start to cry. That's how much I miss him, even though he was in my life very little. So that taught me a lot about how our relationship with God is. No matter what we do, God never gives up on us.
I think consistency and faithfulness is one of the things that God brings to the table that we are supposed to emulate as fathers. So let's get right to it then. We've given our testimony. We've talked about what we recall are critical, decisive moments. And both of us can agree that just saying, I'm going to be the father, I'm going to stick
that
with this.
That's
the beginning of the end.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can look back now and say that was the right decision. We knew God was with us all along the way. We gave examples of that. And then we knew that God impacted us by enabling us to focus, by encouraging us and inspiring us to focus on these kids.
I want to add there, we knew, but we had no clue.
We had no clue. We didn't know the mission, but we knew God.
Yes. Thank God our ignorance, in our stupidity, and just fallacy of just ignorance and all kind of, oh, Lord. I wasn't a sinful father. I didn't drink, and I didn't run around on Sabrina and all that stuff.
Right.
But I still think of all the stupidity that God brought me through to help me raise two beautiful daughters. They are wonderful individuals. They are wonderful human beings. I watch how they interact with people, and they are little me and little Sabrina all over the city of Atlanta. And they come back and tell a story, and we just laugh because we're like, oh, that's just like us. Even the things of bringing them in church, they are a magnet. It's like they are a magnet for misfits, just like their mother and I were.
Kids that have been loved are different for some reason.
Yes.
My vision, and what I say the vision that God instilled in me, inspired in me, was to raise the kids to be givers in the world instead of takers.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's a whole different mindset.
Whole different mindset.
You know, to be givers. And I guarantee you that I don't want the listeners to get caught up and tripped up over the discussion about the financial aspect of fatherhood.
Right.
Because rich people are having the same challenges that we have.
Right.
But it's not financial.
Right. No, it wasn't financial. Although I believe in that scripture, money answers all things.
That's not always
your path. Your path in life is money. I declare to you, I know personally, at least 5 millionaires, personally, could talk on the phone. We talk all the time. That could write me a check and change my life, but ain't a single one of them did it yet.
Mm-hmm.
They don't I'm like, why don't they have a heart like Tyler Perry? They know I'm a good person, you know. They got all this money. They can share that. But that's not my lot in life. That, you know, if God don't test their heart to give it, they're not going to give it. I keep loving them, keep ministering to them, keep praying for them, being there for them. Sometimes you're a millionaire, and now I'm like this. You're a millionaire, but you call Bishop Aaron to counsel with you.
Right.
Over the situation. And then I counsel you. But
here's an interesting thing too, Bishop. Here's an interesting thing too. If someone would have said to us 40 years ago that it was going to cost $1 million per child to raise each child.
Amen.
You know, some kids might not have gotten born. See, that's a material thing that you can see, you know. But that is not how it worked. God said, I want this child to be born. God said, I want you to be the father. God said, I want you, those of you who are listening on this radio show, Get Them Radio, those that are listening right now, God said he wanted you to be on this earth.
That's it. And God gave us the million dollars to raise as we went. And now we can look back. If I had all the money God blessed me with to take care of my kids, there would be a few million.
Yes. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's it. So let's go to the last part. And Barbara, please tell us if we're going over here now.
Yeah.
But,
oh, Lord.
But let's get into the characteristics, and we'll go pretty quickly with this, Fatherhood 101. These are what we think are some of the aspects that God, if you today was to find out that you are about to have a child, okay, God is going to imprint this program in you somewhere.
Yes.
It's going to be in you. It's just a matter of you trusting God to direct that path to bring that out. Here's lesson one. As a father, you are to instill calmness.
Yes.
You are to imprint the ways of the Lord. Instill calmness and imprint the ways of the Lord on that child. Instill calmness and imprint the ways of the Lord on that child. Now, you can find this. This is not me making it up. Again, I don't have the little tag that I kept off of Lenny Jr.'s and all of the other kids' little toes. This is what God encouraged me, inspired me in Ephesians 6:4. This is Paul's letters to Ephesus. He says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Instill calmness and imprint the ways of the Lord on your children.
Yeah.
You are capable, if you are a father, you have the ability to do this. You just have to give in to God on it.
That's it.
You got to let God do this thing for you. I am not somebody special. I'm a regular guy that God used to raise five kids.
Yes.
And in the beginning, before it all, I was like, wow, you know,
I remember Mary's mother called me, and she said, you know, what are you going to do? What are you and Mary going to do? And we told her, we're going to get married, we're going to raise these kids. And here 40 years later, that's exactly what we did. But
mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, I was scared all the way. All the way alone. I was like, God, this is something that you're doing. You know, I'm with you. If this is what you want me, if I need to get up and go to work every single day for 37 years, I'll do that. You know, and there are benefits. There are benefits to this. To see your children prosper in the world, being able to take care of themselves in this world,
Yes.
That you can stick your chest out.
Yes, I know. As I prepare now, they're about to take me out to lunch. My chest is proud that I have. I feel like God helped me to do something I never knew I would be able to do. And that's one thing I also want our listeners to know, is that every step of the way, it was God. Even when there were times when we were faithless, God was still there. And I tell you, I'm grateful that we had this opportunity, Brother Lenny. It's been wonderful dialoguing with this, and I want to share with everybody that we're not only friends, we're co-authors now. So look for our book on fatherhood.
It's coming.
Out of the study of this and talking back and forth and stuff, I'm like, wow, this is a book. And Elder Kizzy conferred a few minutes later with Brother Lenny. He said, oh, this sounds like a book. So I want to confess something. I was one thing that I want to say to everybody, be consistent. There's no tag on the toes. But let me tell you something, in rearing children and in your walk with God, be consistent. If you're consistent, that's what helps you along the way. I have to laugh because the Lord reminded me of consistency, and he told me to make sure I say that, because even this morning, coming on the line, all my mind pictured was we were going to be Facebook Live. I wasn't thinking of Block Talk Radio. My mind, I got myself all printed up and all that stuff. And then at a couple minutes before 11, I was going on Facebook waiting on the thing to pop up. And then I looked and I said, wait a minute, let me look at the flyer. I looked at the flyer and realized it was Block Talk. So I wrote down and I went over and started dialing the number for Block Talk. Let me tell you something. I wrote that number down wrong 6 times. Now, I know how to read. I know how to write numbers. But I wrote it down 6 times. But I would not allow myself to get nervous, because then it popped up 12. That it was 10 minutes after 12, I'm telling myself, before I actually got through on the line, because I kept writing the number down wrong or dialing it wrong. But the Lord reminded me, that's what's made you a good father. That's what's
right.
Made you a good person, being persistent. I would not give up. I would not get myself frustrated. And when I got frustrated, I calmed myself down and said to myself, well, now, you know you can't get nothing done when you're frustrated. And I finally wrote the number down. I could see. But I finally wrote the number down right, and I finally dialed the number down right, and I got in at 10 minutes after 12. That's a few minutes. I said, oh, Lord, Ella Kids is probably looking for me. And I pressed my number one key so she see where my number was. But that reminded me of persistence.
And if there's anything I believe the other kids of you can confirm, anything anybody knows about me was I was persistent. I was consistent. When they said it was church time, the McClary family and our children were there first. We were first to be, not trying to be first, trying to get in line to beat everybody. It's just that we had all our ducks in a row, and we would make sure we were there. We opened the church, we closed.
Consistency and persistency is it. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always tried to understand the ways of things. I want to know how does things work. I have pursued this way, if you will, simply for the benefit of my children. I wanted my children, you know, God inspired me, says, you want your kids to be able to come to you and say, how do you play football? How do you play basketball? You know, how do you read the Bible? How do you understand this particular scripture? You know, I was inspired by God simply in my becoming a father to be prepared to instruct my children in the big and the little things of life. I can remember when Lenny Jr. and John came home one morning about 3 o'clock in the morning. They woke up and they were, I came down the living room and they were watching a video on how to run hurdles. This is early on in their high school career, right? Now, what they learned from me was that I was a track star, that I ran track, and I could give them inspiration, and I could say to them, and I could raise them, and I could encourage them and inspire them to run. Well, later on in life, you know, they got scholarships to go to college off of running hurdles. They got opportunities to travel all over the world running hurdles, you know. And right now, if Lenny Jr. was on this phone, he would tell you who the fastest person in the family is right now. Now,
you.
I won't race him again. I'm going to hold that title till I die. You know, but you be consistent and you be that person that inspire your kids. That's what God wants you to do in your relationship with them, because he inspires you in his relationship with you.
Yes, yes.
See, I was inspired by God just by becoming a father. I could have had a very different life. I could be in a very different place today. But
amen.
God chose this path for me. And on this path, he had children that just sealed the deal.
Yeah.
But anyway, he told me to be prepared to instruct my children in the big and the little things of life, ultimately turning them to that eternal source of all that is God himself. I used to tell my kids, and I tell my nieces and nephews, my grandkids, I say, by physical account, you will appear to be an adult person, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But you are not a grown person until you are completely independent of me. And and completely dependent on God. Then you're grown. Because, see, that's what I have to depend on. Right or wrong, good or bad, up or down, I have to depend on God to get me through every single day.
That's it.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
So
hallelujah.
The last two things in closing, is show compassion and employ empathy. And that's Luke 15, chapter 20 through 24. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, now this is his father now, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. His father could put himself in the place of his child.
Amen.
So, in closing, instill calmness, imprint the ways of the Lord, show compassion, and employ empathy.
Yes.
Those are some characteristics of fatherhood. Thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of it, Apostle Walker.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Apostle.
You guys. I laughed, I cried, I laughed, and then I cried some more between you all. Thank you. Thank you so much, both of you. I was just so blessed this morning. I felt like this was such a wonderful opportunity to be the fly on the wall. That's what I felt like. We all got to be the fly on the wall and just listen to these two men of God just share, to listen to y'all share from your heart your experiences as fathers and your relationship with God. And that was, I mean, just a priceless time right there to just hear you all, you know, speak like that and just sit back and listen, being the fly on the wall. Amen. So thank you so much. I don't want to say the fly, but you know what I mean. We're not flies.
What did the fly say in the movie? Help me.
Okay.
That's how you feel it. Sometimes as a father.
Okay. Well, you know what? A lot of times you don't hear fathers being that transparent and, you know, and talking from your heart. So we got to hear that today, and it was such a blessing. So, Bishop, we cried with you. You know, I can see you getting off that bus and looking down and grabbing that money and looking around and grabbing the money and running home. I can just see that. I can just see your face, Minister Lenny, sitting in the office trying to get them food stamps when they told you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, y'all can have all this money, this food stamps, but you're going to have to leave the house.
You cannot be in the residence. I was like, for real? Are you serious?
Yeah. I remember the times. You know, when they said that, I don't know what they're saying now, but I do remember that. And so thank you guys so much for sharing. You know, on Get 'Em Radio and East St. Louis Christian Center Church, but I'm thinking mostly on the Get 'Em Radio family of broadcasts, we like to have podcasts that people can go back to and listen to. Like, we're a reference place. You know, and I feel like what you guys did today was an excellent reference place for fathers. Fatherhood 101. And the main thing is stick with God no matter what. No matter what's going on, you stick with God, you're going to make it through. 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, all the way. And that's what I heard this morning. So thank you so much, gentlemen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Father's Day. And, you know, as soon as we get off the air, check your Cash App. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen, because y'all going to have to be blessed for Father's Day. Amen. Amen. So we're going to bless the men of God for Father's Day. You know, I said before that our Cash App is $ESLCCC. We're not taking up a separate offering for them, but if the Lord leads you to give and you just give to ESLCCC, we're going to make sure that they're blessed today for Father's Day. Amen. So you can just go ahead and put it there, $ESLCCC. And as they get ready to go, Father, we just bless you for these men of God. We thank you that you just strengthen them with might in the inner man by your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Touch their bodies, Lord God. Keep them healed and whole, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Cause both of their bodies to function in the perfection that you created it to function, and even their minds, wills, and emotions, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord God, that they haven't seen all that you're doing yet. Hallelujah. As you do exceeding abundantly above all that they could ask, think, or even imagine. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to give you guys an opportunity to say something. But first, we want to jump in real quick. No, we don't want to do it real quick, but we do feel like there are people who will come to this line and listen to this podcast or even listening right now, and you may not know that you are born again, that you are saved. You may not know for sure. You may think and you may say, you know, my grandmother, my grandfather, they were Christians, they're pastors or whatever, and, you know, God wants you yourself. Hallelujah. So we're going to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, we're talking about Father's Day here. Look at God. Look at our Father God who gave his only begotten Son. Hallelujah. He gave his only, hallelujah. And when he said he gave, Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins. And the Father God gave him to die for our sins. That as we believe in him, that we will not perish but have everlasting life. That's great love right there. And then it says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So what that means, confessing with your mouth is saying a prayer. Believing in your heart is believing what the Bible says about Jesus, that he came, the Father God sent him, he came, he died on the cross, and that the Father God raised him from the dead. Amen. And then how do you believe that? You choose to believe that the word is true. You have to make a choice. And our choice is we have that is so precious. If we knew how precious our choice is, we would be totally amazed. And we would use our choices in a more precious way. But at any rate, he wants us to make that choice. None of us was there 2,000 years ago. So we have to make a choice to believe. And then when we do that, we say it out of our mouth and boom, we are saved. We are born again. Oh, yeah, it sounds very simple, but Jesus did all the work. Hallelujah. And so because he did all the work, all we have to do is believe and receive. And it's done. And when we do that with all our heart, we are saved. We're born again. We are redeemed. So repeat this prayer after me with all your heart. Father God.
Father God.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I believe. That Jesus. Died for me. And that you raised him. From the dead.
And
now I ask Jesus.
Jesus.
To come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Come into my life.
Come into my life.
Be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
And be my Savior.
And be my Savior.
Show me your ways.
Show me your ways.
And help me to follow you.
And help me to follow
and
you.
Now I know.
And now I know.
According to the Bible.
According to the Bible.
I'm saved.
I'm born again,
I'm born again, and heaven is my home.
Heaven is my home.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. So you are born again. You are saved. Yes, by saying that prayer. The Lord wanted to make it easy for you to come on in. And now he wants you to learn and grow in him. So let's pray over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for touching them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Fill them to overflowing with your precious Holy Spirit and with power, power to live right, power to walk right, power to be able to even pray in their prayer language. We thank you for that, Lord God, and to read the Bible and power to read the Bible. And that you'll be there with them every time they read to help them to understand. We thank you for that, Lord God, right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And we want to invite you now. We want to invite you to go to a Bible-believing church, a church that's there. There's churches all around and maybe a church in your neighborhood. Please, we invite you to go there. And then we also invite you to be a part of the Get 'Em Radio family of broadcasts. The Lord has designed these broadcasts to help you learn and help you grow, hallelujah, in your relationship with him. And so we are here every Sunday. This is the East St. Louis Christian Center Church. Pastor Mom McCoy is our senior pastor. I'm Apostle Barbara Kizzy, the apostolic pastor. And we meet here every Sunday, 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern. Next week, I will be speaking next week on next Sunday. And we've been talking about salvation, the parts of salvation, and now we're into glorification. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So meet us here next Sunday. On Monday, we have our Bible teaching. And that is our teacher is Dr. Lorraine Navarro. She's out of Ohio. And every Monday, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. And she teaches us how to dig into the Word as she digs into the Word of God, where we can learn and grow. On Tuesdays, we have our prayer time. And we call it Praying in Tongues Tuesday. Glory to God. So every Tuesday, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern, we have four people volunteer to pray in tongues for 15 minutes at a time, and then we have interpretation of tongues. This is absolutely life-changing. So join us on Tuesdays, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. Now, the second Wednesday of every month, we have our healing service. We call it prophetic healing. And it's the second Wednesday of every month. The next one will be Wednesday, July 13th. So clear your calendar, set your cell phone alarm, and invite others to come and be healed. Come and be healed yourself. There have been, I'm thinking, approximately 50 healings already this year. Glory to God. So as we go into our second half of the year, by July 13th, it's going to be no less than awesome. So that's 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And then on Thursdays, we have our Thursday edition of Get 'Em Radio. And that's the night, every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. And we have different programs. At that time, the Lord is just kind of expanding us right now with that, and it has been fun, fun, fun. So this month, we have been having Wise Fathers Month on Thursday. So this Thursday night, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern, we'll have Minister Maurice Jones with us. Hallelujah. He is he's a man of God. He has done some prison time, and that's all over now. And he's an entrepreneur. God is using him, you know, around the city of St. Louis and doing great things. And this man of God has completely turned his life around. And so, and he has children. I met his son. I mean, he has a business, a car wash, and he's really kind of turning it over to his son. And I met his son, and he is definitely a good entrepreneur. So we're going to talk to Minister Maurice on this Thursday night. So please join us, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Praise God. Praise God. So now I know that some of you want to say something. And so press your number one key. We see Pastor Price already has pressed her number one key. If you want to talk about your husband who spoke, you want to talk about your daddy who spoke, press your number one key. And we want to hear from you. Praise God. And we'll have Pastor Mom say something lastly. But I'm going to tell you something, y'all. Pastor Mom was up all the time. She was listening to you. That's a blessing. Amen. Pastor Price, we'll start with you. Welcome, Pastor Price.
God bless you, Apostle, and to Minister Lenny and Bishop Aaron. Happy Father's Day to you all. What a great, great program this was today. So delightful. It was like you all were the perfect dynamic duo and the perfect pairing as fathers to share today. Fatherhood 101 and everything. It was just a great joy. Just a great joy to hear the things that were said today. So I just wanted to say happy birthday. I'm not happy birthday. Happy Father's Day to each one of you all and every father that is listening, and just say that this program was really a great blessing. So God bless you all, and may you all have a very blessed day. God bless you. That's all.
Amen.
I want to say. God bless.
Thank you, Pastor. Hallelujah. I think that this is Lady Sabrina. Praise God. Welcome, Lady Sabrina.
God bless you. Thank God for being here and listening to the program. Happy Father's Day, Pastor Lenny. Happy Father's Day to my wonderful husband, Bishop Aaron McClary. I can actually say that he's been an awesome and great father. And happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are on the line. I just thank God for you all being a father, because it takes a special man to be a father. I work with children.
Yes.
I see fathers in and out of their lives, and we tell the dads, thank you. Thank you. Hang in there. You're going to be okay, because when you're around, they are better students, and they live a better, productive life. And I just want to thank God for being our father. I just thank God for this time, and I'm not going to take up any more time, because this is a special day for the fathers, and I know that society don't give them all that's due to them, but I just want you to know that I'm praying for you all, because it takes a lot to be a father. It takes a lot. You are an example. An example you set is the example that your families and your children would take on to continue in their life, and may God continue to bless you and have a blessed and wonderful day.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lady Sabrina. And, you know, as Bishop was talking, I was thinking about you, too, and how you all are together. And I could just see both of y'all shouting when when he came home with the money for Christmas.
Yes.
And all. Amen. Amen. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you for coming on and commenting. And,
you're welcome. God bless.
Okay. Amen. God bless you. Minister Carey, opening up your line. Anyone else? You can press your number one key. I see you, Minister Rachel. You're next after Minister Carey. Welcome, Minister Carey.
I want to say good morning to everyone. Good morning to Pastor Mom and you, Apostle Kizzy. And I can't remember their names, but the Minister Yarbrough and Bishop, yes, and everyone. Just good morning to everyone. I thank you. Thanks the Lord for you all sharing your story. You know, most sometimes you don't hear the heart of a man, you know, over their home,
yes,
because they have so much under them. They're thinking about their wives and they're thinking about their children, and that's a lot for them to carry. And sometimes you really don't, you think about it, but you really just really don't get in, you know, into it really. So I thank you all for sharing that. And Bishop, even a tender heart to even cry. So often we look at men and we think they just have it all together, and you do have it, but we don't see the tenderness of man crying and asking the Lord for help and standing by his children and his wife, walking through. And thank you for sharing the process. As you all walk through the process, knowing that that he was with you, that God is with you, and that he wasn't going to leave you or forsake you, but you didn't know the process you had to walk through to get there. So I just thank the Lord for you all. And you know that choice. Each time you all came to a place, you made a choice, and you kept following the choice. And I remember one saying that, I can't just remember what you said, but consistency, I think you said. And I just thank the Lord for that. It's so encouraging. You know, you all are different age and just different things come to us in a different culture, I guess I would say, or age group. But how in each place you just consistently walk and remember the things that were taught to you from your mom and your sisters and from other men and women, you know, and from the Lord most. And so I just thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for being a part to hear this and praying for my grandsons. I pray for them, but just to pray not only for them, but other young men in their time doing their walk. I remember those choices when the man had to leave the home and to get a funds to take care of their, but you decided to stay and just said, no, I'm going to trust God in this. And you did it, and look where you are now, you know. So I thank God for his grace, his mercy, his strength that he placed inside of you all as he led you all through. And just thank God for you all.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And that made me think about Minister Lenny again, how after they left the office without the food stamps because he decided not to leave, then God had a whole case of chicken waiting on them.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's important to hang in on the process. Hallelujah. So thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Amen. Minister Rachel, and then we see you, Minister Mary, after Minister Rachel. Hi there, Minister Rachel.
Hi, everybody. God bless you, Apostle. God bless you, Bishop Aaron. God bless you, Uncle Kenny. Yeah, bro.
Kenny.
I just thank God. Oh, Kenny Yarbrough. Okay.
Lenny.
Lenny. I'm sorry. Lenny, I apologize.
Yeah.
God bless you all for sharing. It was so beautiful. And happy blessed Father's Day to y'all and for choosing God's will to actually be a father. So God bless.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And, you know, what I think about, too, I'm going to open up your line, Minister Mary. What I think about, too, is that, you know, a lot of men are the strong, silent type. And so you don't get to hear, you know, what they're really thinking. And that's why I thought today was just such a wonderful, wonderful day. Minister Mary, opening up your line.
What?
Well,
Well, happy Father's Day to Lenny and Bishop Aaron. And I just wanted to say how so grateful I am for the messages and the stories today, and just to see your vulnerabilities was just truly God-inspired and God-awesome. And I just want to thank both of you. And I know that for me and my family, for our five children, we would not all be the same without Lenny. He has led us and really moved our family forward in so many ways, and I am always so grateful for that. And not only just moved us forward, but he's always been a man of God that trusted God to move us forward and to give him guidance. So I bless God and I thank the Lord for that. Happy Father's Day.
Amen. Amen. Y'all going out somewhere? Mary? Did you leave, Mary?
Oh,
I was like,
well,
y'all.
I heard Lenny answering.
Oh,
I'm in another room.
On.
And I heard Lenny answer,
on.
But I didn't know if you heard it. We're not going out today. We're going to stay at home and we're going to cook some steaks.
Oh, come on, somebody. All right, then. Amen. I thought I was hearing Bubba Gumps or something. or was that in California? But anyway,
yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Amen. Y'all have a blessed day. Amen. So, Lenny Jr., I see you. Or do I see you? Did you want to say anything? Okay. All right. We're getting ready to go. But if you press your number one key on your phone, I would know if you wanted to say something. But I'll just give you a shout out. Okay? I know you. Let me see. What did you do? Okay. Oh, there you go. Okay, Lenny.
Can you hear me? Yes.
Yes.
Hey,
yes.
I enjoyed that message. And it's good to see, it's good to hear y'all. I enjoyed the message.
Amen. Okay, thank you. We love you.
I love you. I love you guys. I love you. Love you more. All right. I'll talk to y'all later. Happy Father's Day, everybody.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Lenny. Uh-huh. Lenny Jr. So, hi, Lenny. You want to say something else? Minister Lenny?
Yes. You know, I had some last words. I don't know if I was going to get an opportunity to say them, but I'm going to leave with you all the from my perspective, the word of God. And it's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. This is for every father on the planet. Whether you are there or not, this is for you. Ephesians chapter 10, chapter 6, verse 10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places.
Amen.
That's something you want to tuck away and just keep in your heart.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you guys again. I'm opening up Bishop's line if he has a closing comment that he wanted to say as well.
Amen. Praise God. I just thank you again, Apostle, for this opportunity and for Elder Lenny for this opportunity to sharing, and looking forward to our continued collaboration And I just want to thank everybody for listening. I want to share with every man, whether you're a father or not yet, a tool, since there's not a tag that come on in, still no tags come on children, but a tool that helped me through the years is my favorite scripture, which isn't just a scripture, it's a whole book. And that is the book of, oh, Lord, skipping my mind. I was trying to mess with my phone. The book of Proverbs. Get that book. Read it. Read Proverbs every day, regardless of what are the scriptures you read. As a man, it will help you in not only fatherhood, but in every other area of your life. There are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. So on the first of every month, read the first chapter. The second day of every month, read the second chapter, the third, and so on until the end of the month. Now, every few months, you're only going to read 30 chapters. And then every other one, you're going to read 31. And so that will get you through, I believe, a lot of things in life. In addition to your learning the ways of God, reading other parts of the Bible, but I always tell men everywhere to pick up Proverbs and let it become a part of your life. I believe it was written for men, just like I believe the book of Ruth was written for women as an example of how Ruth was. But I believe the book of Proverbs is a lot of wisdom for men. And we, like, thank God, Brother Lenny, I don't have all the answers still after raising children, but we have the reward of wonderful children and the extra reward of wonderful grandchildren. And I count it a blessing that my children are happy and I have grandchildren that now, as I pray for them growing up, my grandchildren, at 10 and at 2, come and lay hands on me and pray for me. And what a blessing that is to know that the admiration of the Lord is continuing on through the generations, even in their young ages. And thank you, Apostle Kizzy, for this opportunity again. And my Get 'Em Radio family, I love you and God bless you.
Amen. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. So we're going to close now with Pastor Mom giving her remarks, and then she's going to go ahead and give us a benediction, close out in prayer.
Well, I really
enjoy
all the good things the pastors, they made good, big
good remarks.
Remarks and everything. I just heard them, and I will give I don't know the other guys. That,
you know Bishop.
Oh, yeah.
Bishop Aaron.
And Lenny. And I go out there every step of the way with Lenny, because he's always been good to me.
Amen.
And thank you so much.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, and may the Lord?
May the Lord watch between Lindy while we ask for one from another, in Jesus' name. And I didn't get just to say, happy
Father's Day. Amen. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. And Minister Carrie, she wanted to say Happy Father's Day too. So you all have a wonderful, wonderful day. And God bless you all. Love you all. And remember, I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. Love you all.